We read from God's Word now as part of our worship. We do so from the Gospel narrative of John, chapter 15. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Herein I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye are of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord? If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto you, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. May God bless our reading of his word. the figure of the vine and the husbandman and the branches is that which we want to use this morning as we learn from the Word of God, as it's summarized in Lord's Day 7, about the subject of faith. We've seen in the first part of the misery of man in Lord's Days 2, 3, and 4, that all men perished in Adam. All men perished in Adam, every single human. Now the question, after having shown that there is a mediator, Lord's Days 5 and 6, the question, are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved in Christ? No. Only those who are engrafted into Him and receive all His benefits by a true faith. What is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. What then is necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. And which are these articles? And there follows the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed, that which the apostles on the basis of the scriptures said is necessary to believe. That's the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. Salvation in the only mediator, is not given to everyone who perished in Adam. It's only given to those who are so connected to that mediator. The figure that's used in the catechism is only those who are grafted into Him. And then, once they're grafted into Him, receive all His benefits. There's only one through whom salvation can come. That's the mediator, only Him. And there has to be a connection made. That connection is made twice. Once objectively. And that's in what we call election. Election. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. He says, or we read in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him. Now, read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. God chose us in Christ. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. To Himself. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the remission, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. There is in election a connection made. Those given to Christ are the elect. Here, John 15 is the middle of three chapters of the speech that Jesus gave in the upper room right after he instituted the Lord's Supper. In chapter 17, he's going to pray. And the prayer, he doesn't say elect, but he describes the elect as those that thou hast given me. Already 17 verse 2. As thou hast given the Son power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Even verse 24 is the last reference to that in that chapter. I will that those also whom thou hast given me be with me. The connection is made between the Savior, the only Savior, Christ the Mediator, and those that the Father gives to him. So there's a real objective connection in election. The Catechism talks about faith being that which connects us. And that's true too. So we do it this way. Before time began, in his counsel, God made the election. He made the union. But in the course of our lives, we're all born in time. And in the course of the time of our life, there's a connection made. Eternally determined, but the connection that's made is the connection of faith. Faith. Faith is the bond that unites us to Christ. So we consider that as our theme for our consideration of the truth of the Word of God as summarized in Lord's Day 7. Faith, union with the Mediator. Connection, bond with the Mediator. First, we're going to look at faith and that connection from the viewpoint of its power. Second, we're going to look at it from the viewpoint of its activity. Thirdly, we're going to consider it from the viewpoint of its assurance. Its power, its activity, its assurance. Faith is a power, a bond. Before I can see, I have to have an eye. Before I can walk, I have to have legs. Before I can speak, I have to have a tongue and a mouth. Before I can have the activity of believing, I must have the power of faith. That power of faith is given in the connection that God makes between those that He's chosen in Christ and given to Christ, and in the course of their life, Him making that connection. The connection is that of grafting. Grafting is taking a live branch off a tree, usually young and small and tender, and you sort of carve into, you don't just cut it off so a piece of the branch is still sticking out of the trunk, but you go into the trunk and you take a piece of the trunk along with the branch. And you go to another tree and you cut a slit in the bark in the trunk of that tree, maybe like a capital I, and you peel it back. And you take that piece of that branch that you've cut out, and you put it into that and you fold it back and you wrap it up tightly. We were surprised to find that there was a branch grafted into an apple tree that we had in the backyard of the house of the parsonage in Bethel in Elk Grove Village. I'm not sure what kind of apple tree it was, but all of a sudden we would find in the fall that one branch produced yellow delicious. And the other, all the other branches in that tree were red apples. That branch became one with that tree, so that when we looked and examined at the base of the branch, you could hardly tell that it was grafted in. It was so connected. The life of the tree went into that branch, and that branch lived. Now, that's the figure. What God does with us is a fantastic miracle. I mean, it's a wonder, amazing to me, that you can take a live branch from one tree and connect it to another and it becomes one with it. But what God does in grafting us into Christ is even more. It would be like doing this. Standell Lumber Company, right here on Lake Michigan Drive, going down to Standell Lumber Company and asking them, I would like the oldest piece of wood that you've got. Oh, 2x2, 2x4, 10 foot long. Good. All dried out. And going to a tree and cutting it open and sticking it in. And the life of the tree enters into it, and that 2x4 starts to have leaves and fruit. Well, that's what God does with us. He takes us from the spiritually dead tree of Adam. We died in Adam, died in sin and trespasses. Ephesians 2 speaks of dead in sin and trespasses. He takes us dead trees, spiritually and morally, and he grafts us into Christ, and the miracle is that we become so one with that tree of Christ that he gives his life to us, and we live. We actually live. Romans chapter 6 speaks of that connection being this way. Know ye not that so many of us as have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We're so connected to Christ that though we live here in 2010, Jesus lived 2,000 years earlier, when Jesus was crucified and then arose, the connection was so real that when he died, we died. And when he arose, we arose. We were buried with him into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. The connection, so real. All of you know Romans 8:28 and have a pretty good idea about the two verses that follow. Those that are called according to his purpose is the way 28 ends. And then 29, for whom he did foreknow, them also he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. Then this, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, I'm emphasizing the tense. Notice, all past tense. So real is the predestinated connection that God looks at us today, and he says, not only is it that it's as if you have been called and justified, but also glorified. Well, none of us have even tasted glory yet. But it's so certain because the connection is so certain. That connection is accomplished in our awareness, in our consciousness, through the gift of faith. Faith is a part of the salvation that God gives to us when He regenerates us. So, the connection is real from God's perspective, objectively. But here I was born in 1949 in my mother's womb, came forth. In the course of my life, I'm not aware of when, God performed a work. We call it regeneration. Now, when sometimes if you're not raised within the sphere of the church, then you are aware when it happens. But for us raised within the sphere, most of the time we're not aware of that connection. But there's a connection. Just like this. When some of you remember when they put on the addition. But when they put on the addition, they didn't just start adding to the building. The first thing they did is dig in the ground. We can't now see the foundation. But foundations were put in where every wall is, the outside wall. There's a foundation that was put 3-4 feet into the ground. Flat piece of cement was poured. And then the wall built up on it. And now the visible wall on top of that. Just as we may know that there's a foundation underneath those walls. So we may know, though we can't remember or aren't aware, that the foundation of our faith was given when God regenerated us. He put a life of Christ. He took our old heart and He made it a new heart. He gave us the life of Jesus Himself. Jesus did that. So that now, when we perform the activity of believing, we make it visible, just like the rest of the building is visible. We can't see the foundation. So, the foundation of our believing is that life of Christ that's given to us in regeneration. That faith, that power, is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 are the most familiar proof text for that. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The last two verses of Philippians chapter 1. Read this way. Unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, two things. To believe in Him, and amazingly, it is given to you to suffer for His sake. But it is given to you to believe. The Apostle Peter did the miracle with John of the lame man. When he was explaining what happened, Peter said, Acts 5, verse 31, Him hath God exalted to His right hand to be a prince and a savior. For to give, He's exalted to God's right hand, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Repentance and forgiveness and faith It's all a gift. A gift of God. Now, God made the connection. We've got the foundation. We've got an eye, but now we've got to see with the eye. We've got the foundation. Now we build on that foundation something visible. The activity of faith. Very simply, the simplest way, the activity of faith is believing. Believing. Holding for truth what God says in His Word about Jesus. I read. When faith is given to me objectively, and I have the ability to believe what the Bible says. This verse, let's just take that as an example. Acts 5, verse 31. I didn't see Jesus ever. Not with these eyes. But the Bible says He lived and He walked. This verse says, God exalted Him to His right hand. I've never seen that. Neither of you. But we hold for truth what God says in His Word about that. And we have no doubt. Now, when we get a little older, then we can start raising some questions. But that's when I love to go to little children like Tabitha and Tyler and ask them, have you ever seen Jesus? Do you love Jesus? They'll say yes. Where is Jesus? In heaven. But you've never seen Him? No. But you believe He's? Yep. Except you have the faith of a little child, you cannot enter. We take for truth what God says. So there He is at the right hand of God, and He's giving repentance and forgiveness. So that when I repent, it's an activity. But I step back afterwards and I say, that was an activity that was given. I wasn't aware of it, but God was giving it. Now I look back, and it sure isn't natural to me. So it had to be given to repent and to be forgiven. Faith is not sight. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. So faith is not seeing it with these eyeballs. But faith is believing and holding for truth that which we cannot see. All of you children have gone through a memory course where you've memorized Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, the first verse. Through faith. No, I'm sorry. I haven't memorized it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We weren't there when God created, but the Bible tells us. His questions to Job, John 1. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He didn't touch it. He didn't work it with His hands. He spoke and it was done. The worlds were framed or created by the Word of God. Faith holds the unseen for truth. That connection, that activity, of faith. And maybe we should reflect here a minute on this. Faith is going to be active. It might not be active all the time, but faith is going to be active. A branch that's grafted into Christ is going to be living. It may be like in the winter, it's not so active. But in the spring, you better see activity. There will be the production of leaves. There will be the production of seeds. There will be the production of fruit in which there is the seed. It's not always active, but it's always alive. Faith that is dead isn't faith. It may look like it's a branch, but if it's dead, it's to be cut off and cast away, burned up. Faith is to be alive. That activity of faith is believing what God says in His Word about Jesus. But then the next step is this. Faith is the activity of embracing, cleaving to Jesus. In Acts chapter 11, we read about Peter being brought to meet Gentiles in Antioch. In verse 22, the tidings of what had happened with the word of God being brought to Antioch came to the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen, he had to use faith, he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Can you see the grace of God? Sure you can. You see the fruits that grace only can produce. He went to Antioch, he talked with these people, and he heard and saw the grace of God producing something. But now, this is what he said. He was glad and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. With purpose of heart, he exhorted them to cleave to the Lord. That's the language of John 15, when Jesus says, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman, ye are the branches, you are grafted into me. Abide in me. How many times doesn't he say that? Abide in me. Later on, he explains that abiding. He says, love me. If you love me, you keep my commandments. But you love me. If you want to produce fruit, then you abide in me by embracing me, cleaving to me. That branch that you take from a tree and you put inside that bark and you wrap it up. Pretty soon you can take all the wrapping off because it's abiding. It's clinging to. It's cleaving to that tree. Faith. The activity of faith is not first showing its leaves. The activity of faith is always first cleaving to Jesus. Abiding in Him. Embracing Him. There's a beautiful hymn. It goes like this, from 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed. Not, I know what. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed. Clinging, cleaving, abiding, sucking, drawing from Christ all that we need. Then we produce the fruit. But the fruit is that which more and more shows us and shows others we're connected to Christ. Grace has produced a fruit in us. Faith moves us to hunger and thirst to know Him more. See, that's why Jesus can rightly say, to abide in me is to love me. When that connection is made, that connection is Him telling us that He loves us. And we want to embrace Him the more. We want to know Him better. So we hunger and thirst to draw from Him. Our love for Him is that we want to learn and keep learning of His love for us. And that's when faith performs that activity of trusting, holding for forgiveness. Now, one other quick thing. As long as this grafting into of these formerly dead branches out of Adam and connected to Christ, as long as this tree is living on this side of the grave, as long as it's on this side of eternity to come, the trunk is perfect, but the branches are not. And what has to be done is we don't always grow the branches in the right way. So the good husbandman knows what to do. Some trees, the birch trees in the backyard of the parsonage, they always have growths that come up right at the base or on the stem of the trunk. And I'm always going there, taking them off. They're sucking energy. Sometimes we call them that, suckers, because they're drawing energy and strength from that trunk. And it can't help the better branches. So we get them off. And after it grows a bit, we start cutting. I remember with great clarity, my dad working on two maple trees in the front yard of the house that we had in 32nd Street in Hudsonville. We looked at what he was doing and we thought he was ruining them, because he was cutting so many of the big branches on the bottom off. But he knew what he was doing. Our ignorance didn't. When you prune and purge a branch and a tree, we think it really hurts. We think it's not good. We don't like that pruning. It doesn't feel good at all. But the husbandman knows what he's doing. And he wanted those top branches to grow. Not the bottom ones, but the top ones. Oh, but the bottom ones were the nice big ones. Yes, you want to get rid of them. You don't need them anymore. You want the top ones. The husbandman does that work. And this pruning and purging has got to take place as long as we live on this earth. But that activity of believing, of clinging, that activity is also the work of God. Not only does He put us dead branches, and that's His work of making the bond, the powerful bond, but also the activity is His. I gave the example a while ago. We repent, and then we step back and we look and we say, well, that repenting was a gift. There's another verse that shows that very clearly, and it's very well known to all of you. It's the last part of 12 and verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2. Work out your salvation. Cling, cleave, abide in Christ. Love Him. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Your own, not somebody else. Work out your own salvation. Do so with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you. Both to will and to do. Both the wanting to and the doing of salvation. You step back. God did it to me again. What a gracious God. He moved me to see my sin. He moved me to look to Christ. Well, that's the work that the Spirit does. And if you want to talk about the work of the fruit, what is the fruit? Well, the greatest activity of that tree is of the branch is to cling to Christ. But when you start producing leaves and fruit, then the chief evidence, the chief leaves and the fruit on the branches of the elect is this. Not what we do things, yes, eventually, but first and most frequent, we start by being able to see our own sin. More. Better. Our eyes are opened to the filthiness of our old man. And it's not just we don't get worried more about what we do, we get worried more about what we are. We're still a branch that's filled with corruption. And so that's what drives us to Christ. And that's what makes us amazed. He would connect me to Him, and He loves me, and He still loves me, and He is still loving me. That's the activity of faith. And it's the preaching of the gospel that is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to grow in amazement of such a gift. Ongoing gifts that are ours in Christ. When power, activity, now assurance. When we see that connection by God's grace between ourselves and Christ, then we hold for truth. And that holding for truth is an intellectual. It starts that way. We understand what we read. That's the way that Philip said it to the Ethiopian eunuch. Understandest thou what thou readest? But what we learn about Christ, that's where the confidence comes. Now listen. If I look at my branch, me, the branch, I am not going to be sure. Because sometimes it's winter and it looks dead. Assurance doesn't come by looking at the branch. Assurance comes by looking at the tree and the connection. This is what God did. This is what Christ has accomplished. I hold for truth that which God has revealed in His Word about Christ. Then assurance can come. Then we learn more and more about the nature of the husbandman and how faithful he is to his work. That once he makes a connection, he's going to complete that connection. He's going to bring it to completion. Then we learn more and more about Christ. And that He doesn't change either. When He makes the determination of what He's going to do, He does it. And nobody can undo that work that He's accomplished. When there's a bond made in marriage, and one is unsure about what the attitude of the other is, there's nothing more distressing. I I don't know if I'm loved. Then our human nature tries to do things to earn it. That never works. And that's so contrary to the relationship that God has with us. Confidence, assurance, arises out of the knowledge of His love for us. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able. It's all about Him. And there's where the assurance and the confidence comes. It's rooted in the knowledge that we are loved and nothing can change that love. If I am not sure of His love, then I have no confidence, no assurance. And He never stops telling us He loves us. Just read John 15 all over again. He never stops telling us He loves us. How contrary we are if we don't say it. As loved as what I am, I can love. Love the ones that God puts in my life. Love the ones that God has connected me to. Trusting His judgment. There's where the assurance comes. That's where our assurance lives. Now, that assurance is going to correspond, be connected with the activity of faith. When I'm not looking at Him and His love, then I'm not going to be sure. In fact, if I am not looking at Him, deliberately not, and I am instead walking according to my will in my activities of sin, and I'm doing my self-centered activity, then I'm not going to be assured either. But when I exercise faith, repenting, cleaving, abiding, then I know. Then it's not just I hold for truth that which God has revealed in His Word, but then it's also, it is an assured confidence that not only to others, but to me also, has been given freely, merely of grace, because of the work of the sake of Christ's merits alone. Forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation. You've received a gift in every step. Embrace the cross. Amen. Our Father, we thank Thee for the gift. The gift of the power to believe, the gift of the activity of believing, and the gift of assurance. To Thee be the thanks and the glory. And again, Thou art worthy. For Jesus' sake, amen.